is John Kozlowski. He's a programmer and a longtime programmer in that field. He's a little bit older than I am. I'm in my 50s. I think he may be maybe high 50s, late early 60s, and has been working for a very long time on a project that I want you to hear a little bit about from his own lips, and that's a secure telecom software that defeats the two types of surveillance that the good people impose and that bad people, of course, impose on you as well. And, of course, the corporate people. They're not good or bad, but they're just corporate wanting to profit from knowledge of your doings online. And it defeats metadata collection and also content snooping. And John Kozlowski, the Cleveland, Tennessee programmer, a local economy advocate, has the idea that the nostrum that nothing on the internet is secure is not really true, and that you can have what he sees as security. In other words, that there are no leaks in the pipeline of your doings online. You're sending your emails or your browsing habits or your confidential arrangements made, your trade secrets out there online. These things are, he proposes with his software, really free from interruption and intervention by people who don't have your interests at heart. John, welcome to Nuganomics.com.
David, it's a delight to be with you.
Well, tell us about the Tor network. Tor is the Onion Router network. From what I understand, it comes out of a naval research lab in 1995. It's used by people who are security-minded, who are privacy-minded, who don't want others to mind their business. Some of them may have good intentions. Some of them may be trafficking in contraband. But nonetheless, it is thought to be a secure network. It's government-owned, and yet we somehow think it's a secure network. Talk about Tor. And what's happening? Where's the tech world going in its discussion about whether that's a genuinely secure place to deal with the internet?
Well, it has become a little bit of a controversy within the privacy community that a lot of noise has been made, starting with an article in the Pando site in the last summer. That pointed to the fact that the whole Tor project is funded by the U.S. government. So this is kind of, if you're trying to be private in your communications and you're trying to have people not listen to what you're saying or what you're writing, and if one of the parties you're concerned about is the U.S. government, then going to a product that is funded by the U.S. government may give you a little bit of hesitancy. Are they really giving me something that protects me from them? And one of the things that has been happening, if you follow the industry a lot, is there are news reports leaked about how the NSA is very concerned that people who use Tor are doing something that they can't break. Well, it's there's part of it that they can't break. But there's part of it that they can and do break. They just don't talk about it.
But why is that important to my listener? Why should my listener who doesn't encrypt his email, doesn't really care about encrypting his telephone communications, why is that important? And should, if it's not important to him, why possibly should it be?
Well, I think this gets back to that I have nothing to hide mentality. And what I suggest to people, if you have nothing to hide, then you should be walking around naked with all your accountant's information, whatnot, tattooed on your chest to share it with everybody. Clearly, that's ludicrous. We don't do that. We have things we want to hide, from simple modesty to hiding our things like our financial data, our medical records, and so forth. And it's been shown by numerous studies that when people fear the idea that what I say or what I do is noticed, then I will limit what I do, especially political dissent. We may think that we have the right to vote and so forth, and that's all we do. You make any stand politically incorrect, and if the government knows about it, you may say, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. A great example would be how it was become an issue recently, how the IRS was targeting people of particular political persuasions. Once you know that, you may say, well, I'm going to be a little more careful about what I say and what I do. So privacy does matter.
So you're suggesting that there's a kind of prior restraint that, a member of the public, an innocent member of the public, brings to himself. He starts acting as his own censor because he has no sense of there being security in his private emails, let's say, to the head of the local Tea Party, or communications about strategy with the National Tea Party or the National Republican Party. He has the sense of being watched, and so he's not going to be exercising his liberty as he would like to.
Right, exactly. I think a simple way you could see that is if you go to a gathering and everybody's cheering for a particular sporting team and whatnot, and you have a desire for somebody else, you may be a little bit reticent, even on something as minor as that, simply because it rocks the boat. You take that and go one step further, what it may do in reference to your employer, and, of course, what it may do in reference to how the state treats you. You may say, I'm going to be a little bit more reticent on what I say and do.
Now, Tor, the supposedly private and secret network, is used not just by people in the United States, John Kozlowski, but people in foreign countries. As my understanding is that it was initially developed to allow American agents around the world to cloak their identity as they were in the field gathering intelligence or setting up sting operations or giving human intelligence assets a way to report back to their handlers, that kind of thing, according to this Pando.com study. So it's not just Americans that use this, but the idea of privacy is important. Where you have actually wicked state regimes, are there any of those that might cause one to desire an escape?
I guess I'm not clear on that question.
Well, I guess the question is: are there state apparatuses, either American or elsewhere, from whom one would like to be private from whom one would like to escape notice?
Well, clearly, I mean, the amount of users of Tor in the United States is relatively small compared to other countries. In other countries, you have oppressive regimes that will say, if you say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, we are indeed coming after you. This is a common occurrence. We don't see it much here in the United States. It is a common occurrence in other nations. So clearly, they are avid users of Tor because it reduces their footprint. It reduces the amount of information they're sharing with their own government.
Well, now, go on. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, you know, that model that exists in foreign lands clearly is going to be an issue here in the United States.
So your prognosis for liberty in the United States, John Kozlowski, is negative. You're thinking that we're going to have less freedom, more surveillance, more harassment of maybe constitutional-minded people, secession-minded people, patriotic Americans, constitutionalists, homeschoolers, dissenters of establishment government and politics.
I think the evidence is clear, and if you look at numerous organizations who rate freedom throughout the world, the United States is going downhill. We are nowhere near what most people perceive as the freest nation on earth. We are nowhere near anymore.
Well, talk to my listener a little bit, John, about what your work is. What is the sum of your labors devising secure email? How does it work? What's it called? Where is it going? How near are you to completing maybe an important first or second step?
Well, the you know, as we talk about the Tor, the Onion router, the technology they use, the idea of bouncing messages around the web, is what I call matryoshka. Matryoshka are the nested Russian dolls. So it's a visual image of what is actually happening. I bounce the message around the web. And in that process, just like Tor, it hides. It hides in such a way that defeats, the NSA admits this, it defeats their ability to say, I don't know what it is, where it's coming from, or where it's going to. But if you add another technical thing called traffic analysis, and you have the wherewithal to notice everyone in the world at the same time, the amount of data they're sending and when, if you have those resources, then you can defeat Tor. And there's only one party that has those resources.
The American national government. So for example, I was reading in this rather lengthy essay that one way of doing that would be having all the uses of the internet and the slight variations in computer clock times. You can establish a pattern among computer users by their clock times. Apparently that information is conveyed when you send an email. Is that right?
Yeah, there is a huge, one of the things that's happened, we hear the term big data. The idea of taking a whole bunch of little pieces of information and putting that all together and then analyzing it in such a way and finding out all sorts of little details to say, I know who that person is. You know, a great example of this is we know about facial recognition technology, which is becoming remarkably good to the point that you can wear a ski mask and they can still identify you. The idea of being able to monitor you, take a short video of you, not have a clear picture of you at all, but by your gait, the way you walk, you can be identified. So take that and apply that to your computer. There are certain little characteristics, when you combine them together, you end up saying, I can tell what specific computer this is. You can see this very clearly when you browse the web, and you go here, you go there, and you suddenly notice that the things that you browsed for, suddenly the ads start matching. The reason is the technology that Google has, predominantly, to monitor everything you do and know specifically that it is you. They gather that information, they never forget it, and they, because they don't have the time limit laws that federal agencies do, they keep it, they know you, and they will always know you. And they will take every little piece of information they can to tailor their ads to make their $2 billion of profit a month.
Well, what does your system, John Kozlowski, what does your system do that defeats the innocuous surveillance of, let's say, Google, and also the potentially harmful surveillance of a wicked dictatorship in some hot country in Africa, let's say, or in the Middle East, or maybe in the United States? What does your system do? And give some kind of sense of progress on your work.
Well, the fundamental difference is we send a constant stream of encrypted data. You know, rather than going into the technical details of that, what that does, the results of that is there is no indication that is given at all when you're communicating, when you actually have real communications, with whom you're communicating, the technique of monitoring both ends doesn't work anymore. That is completely defeated. It is, for somebody in the secure communications field, this is a no-brainer. This was obvious. And that's why I question why Tor doesn't defeat it. But the Matryoshka project, which is available at shofarnexus.com, we are producing a piece of software that the intent is to give it away free. We are trying to follow a model where, unlike a lot of the communities where everything is free, yes, our software is free, but it's free for you to download and run on your own machines so you can, in turn, sell the service. This is overtly Christian. The laborer is worthy of his wage. If you provide the labor of the service, you are worthy of being paid for it. There's no multi-level marketing. You don't have to pay for anybody. You are just one node in this massive world. It is very similar in the philosophy that Tor started with, to hide their foreign agents, their assets, the spies, to hide them, you hide them in the mass of all the population. I'm very upfront, exactly the same thing I want to do. Within the population of those people who are foul and vile, the population of the people who want to simply protect their business interests, or the population of people who simply want to say, you know, I love you to my wife, and do that privately. To the population who says, I am a person in a foreign land, I'm a missionary and whatnot, and I want to talk to somebody at home without losing my neck. All those people, put them all in the same pile, you can't tell who's talking to whom. And unlike Tor, there is no back door for somebody with the assets of the U.S. government to defeat that.
So your Matryoshka software is it's freeware. The listener can download it. Look, go to your website and spell matryoshka. That's a Russian word, and it's a little hard to put it down in letters.
Matryoshka is matryoshka. The site is matryoshka. I actually have matryoshka.pw, but it is shofarnexus.com. That is the site that has the software on it and so forth.
Okay, spell that.
Software is still in development. It is starting to see the light of day. We are initially going to deliver just basic email service, but I have a demo that's coming together where I have 9 servers spread out around the world, and I will allow you on the demo site to take a message and bounce it around the world away from route you choose, in order for you to see how the technology works. And the goal is, to get the email service working, then provide the secure version of that, and then get to audio and secure video communications. This way, if you want to go and download a video, for example, or communicate with somebody, and you don't want anybody to know who for whatever reason, you would have those mechanics available to you.
Spell it's called Matryoshka software, but it's on a domain called Shofar Nexus. Spell that one, please.
Yeah, Shofar Nexus. Shofar, S-H-O-F-A-R, Nexus, N-E-X-U-S, .com. Shofar is the ram's horn, which was a technique used for ancient communications. And so in a way, we have ancient communications for modern times. And, Nexus is the idea of the central point. So this is our central communications technique, to provide private, anonymous communications for anyone, for any purpose, at any time.
John Kozlowski, thank you for joining my listener and me here at Nuganomics.com.
It's been a delight.
Why does anybody want to have something private? Well, you want to have private communications not because you're bad, not because you're a malefactor, an evildoer, a tortfeasor, right, someone who does torts, not because you're malicious and you're desiring to hurt anybody or take advantage of anybody or defraud anybody. You want privacy. You want to be snooper-free because you're good. You want privacy not because you're bad, but because you're good. And that's my thinking about you, my listener, here at Nuganomics.com. Our show is about loving your neighbor and buying local. And this is a local economy project. This is a project that bears your interest. I would suggest it bears your support. John Kozlowski is looking for investors. He's looking for people to partner with him to sell something that he's giving away for free.